qualities to instill in the hearts of God's people. I started out making this outline for the young men that are in Brother Steve's Sunday school class. But as I looked over it and studied it and went a little deeper, I think that we all need these points instilled in our hearts. And I would suggest, Steve, following qualities as a great starting point for what we desire for our children and for ourselves. One of the qualities that is not being instilled in the hearts of our children, our students, is a heart for God. Nothing is more important to love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength. And as we all know, that's God's first commandment. But I think if we're going to instill that in the hearts of our children, or our students, or our friends, I think it's pretty common that we talk about those things that are important to us. You know, God said in Mark chapter 12, and in verse 30, he said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." I don't believe you have to look too hard at that verse to know that God wants us to love him with every part of our body. And I believe that we got to instill that into the heart. And there's many ways we can do that. You know, it's to teach our children, and to, when we're talking to somebody and we've had a promotion or we've been sick and our family been sick and now they're healed, you know, instead of uplifting the doctor or the hospital, and we're thankful for those, but we know all the healing comes from God. And I think that we need to instill that in our young people, in our family. And I believe that's the first thing. You know, I've had members, you know, that have told me, one in particular, and she said, "I love you, but you're hard to talk to." And I never did look at myself as being someone hard to talk to, but she said, "All you want to talk about is the church or the Lord." Well, that's not all I want to talk about. I like to brag on my grandbabies. I like to lift them up. But certainly uplifting my Lord and what he's done for me is an important part of my life. And then we went on to this second point that I believe is so important. Don't just say these are little points, but think about them. Grounding in biblical beliefs and conviction. And I didn't know I was going to meet this young man out at Walmart. I don't know how old he was, 19, 20, 21, something. He's a young man. That young man and every young man, that they need to know more than what we believe. They need to know why we believe it. About everybody I talk to, and if I ask them, "Are you saved?" And they'll say, "Yes, I go to such and such a church, and our church teaches the Bible, and our church preaches the Bible," and that's great. But they need, you need, I need to be grounded in the biblical beliefs and convictions. Because there's a lot of people who believe the Word of God. They believe that's taught in the Word of God, but they're not convicted of it. And without conviction, you'll never be an inspiration to somebody that's looking. God says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice what God says as we look at these scriptures tonight. We won't keep you long. It's very simple, but God laid this upon my heart. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, God said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." See, now, we've had people who say, "I believe what you believe, but I don't understand it the way you do." And then they give them a way out and they say, "But God didn't call me to preach." Well, young Timothy here, God said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Steve not only needs to know what he believes, he needs to know why he believes it. And if you know why you believe it, then you can be more effective in convincing somebody else. I mean, everybody in every kind of church will tell you, "I believe the Bible." But they really don't understand the Bible because they have not studied, as God said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." You know why that's needful? You're not going to stand before me or your former pastor or your mom or dad. You're going to stand before God and you're going to give an answer to what you believe. God says, "Study." Then he tells us, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." What the young man was telling me down there, he said, "You know, I talking about the 1,000-year millennial reign, you know, and somebody told him it was the end, and somebody else told it to the beginning." I said, "That's way over your head. You don't need that. But I'd be glad to talk to you about it. I'd be glad to sit down and tell you what the 1,000-year millennial reign is. We're the beginning, we're the end. But your greatest need is to know that you're a sinner. You're lost and you need Jesus Christ." And then he looked at me and he said, "I ain't supposed to be doing this." Well, I don't want to get him in trouble. I don't know what Walmart's policy is, but whether you're at Walmart or on the street, if you bring up my Lord and Savior and you want me to talk to him, I'll talk to you about him. And I only bring that up is because God has somebody that only you can reach. And he says, "But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more godliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker." And he gives these two examples. We need to instill in our hearts love for the brethren. Love for the brethren. Without love for others, the Christian ministry is meaningless and fruitless. See, we're almost afraid to let somebody see us talking to a Catholic or Nazarene or Buddhist or somebody, you know, we're compromising our belief. How do you think they're going to hear the truth if somebody don't talk to them? If God opens that door, walk in it. God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, that's love, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Makes no difference how much you know, who you know, how long you've known it. Without love, it will amount to nothing. God said, verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. See, we can give, we can serve, we can work, but if we don't have love, God don't use it. It doesn't have nothing. See, somebody loved me enough to preach the gospel to me when I did not want to hear it. Me. And I preached this one time. I said, I can't wait till I get to glory, because me and Brother Hunley's just going to sit down and have a good old talk. But, you know, I ain't going to have this kind of body. I'm not going to have the body that I have now. And it's this body that reminisce about, you know, walking by the brooks and talking to them. You know, we won't have this kind of body. That's another message. A man is a good one. Because when you get to heaven, and I don't want to burst in my bubble, you know, I love my mom. Sometimes I cry, wake up in the night crying with tears in my eyes for my mom or my dad or one of my siblings. But when I get to glory, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. See, God tells us, though I speak, though I give, though I do this, though I do that, if you have not love, waste of time. See, these are qualities that need to be instilled. When our kids or anybody we can have an influence on, and they talk about hate, 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 we are to do our best to bring that conversation back to love. You know why? Wasn't from the grace of God, there I'd be. And I believe that one thing that we have not as Christian families, instilled in the heart of our loved ones the love for the local New Testament church. You know how we do that? There's many ways. But we let everybody know, from our kids to our grandkids to whatever, God comes first. And God said here in Mark 16:15, Mark, the 16th chapter, the 16th, Mark 16, verse 15. We can go in this as deep as we would want, but these are just 8 or 9 points that I would like for us to see that when God opens the door, that we can instill them. And so the love for the local New Testament Baptist church. When God said in Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Don't you like that verse? our little Camelite friends, bless their heart, they'll take that verse and say, see, you got to be baptized. But let me take that verse and show you what it means. God said, he that believeth, who's saved? He that believeth. Amen? Good, got a Baptist in here. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What does baptism do? Baptism adds you to the body. We got lessons, we got books, we got anything that show you scripture after scripture, book after book, the difference between the kingdom, the family, and the local church. You're baptized into the church. You know what the church does? It saves your body. It saves your life. Amen. It saves your marriage. It'll keep you from going into things that will get you in trouble if you follow the word of God. Amen. So God said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What do you have to do to be damned? Just don't believe. Just don't believe. You're saved if you believe. You're lost if you don't believe. Baptism is identification. It identifies you with the church that Jesus built. And that's pretty silly because all the rest of them are really not churches, they're organizations. Church is a call-out group of believers. See, somebody, sometime, saved somebody and add them somewhere. That's called election. That's called predestination. That's called bringing the family together. Love for the local New Testament church. My wife will tell you, I have told you, it's the church that saved our marriage. It's the church that kept us together. Because we believe that God saved us and added us to the church. And God used my stupidness of trying to prove my pastor wrong only to make me love him and the church even more. These qualities, what is the next quality we ought to have? A heart for their parents. I've never seen a time in my life where children have no respect for their parents, literally could care less for their parents. I believe that we need to get back to the point, as my two sisters will verify that, Mom said, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. I was pretty good age before I didn't believe that. But I tell you one thing, when you believe that, you have some respect. You have some love. Well, I don't think you ought to be afraid of anybody. I believe that you ought to have a certain amount of respect for God. And when you respect God, you know he'll do exactly what he said he'd do. See, heart for the parents. Parents need to be intentionally tied heartstrings with their children, and teachers and Christian workers need to help their students keep their heartstrings short. I've had very few parents come to me in my ministry and says, you need to get rid of that teacher. You need to talk to that teacher. Brother and sister, let me tell you, whoever is teaching your child, if the church recommend them, you ought to honor that. You ought to make sure they're wrong before you go and getting on them. God said, Malachi, 4th chapter. Malachi, the 4th chapter. Notice what God said now. He said here, in Malachi, the 4th chapter, and verse 6, God said, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. This earth has a curse on it, brother. I mean, you can believe what you want to, but you look at all the, I've said it time and time again, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the killing, the shootings. God's getting about ready to give her up. See, only God, he said, he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and to the heart of the children to the fathers. When that love for the child and the child's love for the parents cease, he's coming. He's coming. So that's love for that local New Testament church. It's love for their parents. It's love for their pastor. An under shepherd, for the chief shepherd, a pastor has a vital role in the Christian's life. Young people need to keep open lines of communications with the pastor. It's been, I have not had it, I have not, every one of you parents know that if your child gets in trouble and needs me, all they got to do is call me and I'm there. You know why? I consider you children that God has put under my watch, and I'm interested in what you do. I'll take my time and guide you and love you and be there to counsel you. And you ought to thank God for a pastor that's willing to do that. I was, you know, some of you don't know, but my doctor now, if you call him a doctor, and I guess he is, you know, Dr. Cooper. You know, I like him. He had me up on the table and he said, you know what me and you and the Apostle Paul has in common? I said, man, I'm here for my blood pressure, you know. So he turned his computer on and showed me a picture of the Apostle Paul. He said, we all three of us got lines there. I noticed Harold's got some lines. You must be kin to Apostle Paul too, you know. Well, you know, I thought everybody, you know, when they get a certain age, have these little lines. But you know why I like Dr. Cooper? I don't know whether he's a good doctor or not, you know. But he's concerned. And he asked me, he said, why did you choose me? I said, you showed compassion for my wife. Every day he came in that room when she had pneumonia, and he showed compassion for her. That's what doctors used to do. That's what parents need to do. That's what pastors need to do. That's what Sunday school teachers need to do. We need to show passion. God said in Hebrews, said that somebody said, well, it'll go out on sermon audio. I don't care. I told Dr. Cooper that to his face. I don't say anything from his pulpit that I wouldn't say to the person. Love the man. Love men, women with compassion. God said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, God said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account. Well, who am I going to give an account to? Going to give an account to the parents? No. I'm going to give an account to God for what I tell everybody that is under my teaching. For they that do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. See, we obey. And you're not obeying me. You're not obeying the Son of Truth. Teacher, you're obeying God. The next thing I believe that we need to instill in the hearts of our people is patriotism. Patriotism. American young people should know, respect, and express gratefulness toward those who have purchased their freedom. Y'all remember when you're going down the road and a funeral procession come, everybody pulled off. They do sometimes now, sometimes they don't. Where's that taught? God said, you know, that we need to teach our people. We need to point out to each other. These people died so that I can live. They gave their life. God said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, notice what God said. He said here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, you all probably know this verse anyway, but God said here, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. If God's people would pray for our leaders, would pray for our president, you may see something happen. You know why? Because God told us to. God told us to. Then we need a little bit of instilled in our hearts of our students, of our children, of ourselves. Biblical principles for decision making. When our students enter their teens and adult years, when we adults begin to get older, we need an understanding of how to seek wisdom from God and personally make wise decisions. I won't ask anybody to raise their hand, but have you ever prayed and asked God to lead you in what vehicle to buy? Job opening comment, you just stop and pray and say, God, should I take this job or not? Give me understanding. Let me know if this is a good move. Well, when we enter the teens and adult years, they need to understand of how to seek wisdom from God's word and personally make wise decisions. I've been in the home out on visitation when the boy is leaving to go have a date, and I've heard dads right in front of me say, son, go make your old dad proud. What kind of statement is that? As your son is leaving to go on a date. If you're saved and the young boy, the young girl is saved, you got to ask the question that should be asked. How close are y'all on the Bible? But he's a good boy. She's a good girl. Let me tell you, after 50-some years of marriage, it takes three to keep a marriage together. It takes three. God said in Psalms 119 and verse 105, God said this, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What does that verse mean in the context we're talking about? God's word will tell you what decision to make on certain things. I've heard parents say, but Junior and Miss Wonderful have so much in common. What about their spiritual belief? They don't have a lot in common if they're not serving the same God. I'm preaching.
Amen.
But see, that's never brought up. Because the young lady, bless her little beautiful pea-picking heart, when I get him, I'm going to change him. Nah, it don't happen. You know what happened when you put that rotten apple in with the good apples? Huh? Yeah. Use some farm illustration. God said, "Thy word is a lamp." It's a guide. This world is dark. The word of God is a light. He said, "It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God said, "How can two walk together if they don't agree?" What do you have to agree on? You know, we don't have to agree on whether we all like cornbread or we all like the summer or we like the winter. We got to agree on the one that is going to save our souls and bless us because of our faithfulness. And number 9, this one is really important. To me, the most valuable possession we have is our soul. Do we really understand that? I'm going to get a brand new body, and I'm so thankful. It won't be like this one. It won't have the depravity of this one. It won't have the emotions of this one. It's going to be like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But that soul, that part of you that's going to live on somewhere, the most valuable possession we have is our souls. Thus, to love others as ourselves is to care for their eternal destiny and point them to Christ. Now, if we all be honest, and I've been guilty, you know, I want to see my kids have a home and clothes and food, good education, try to prepare them for a job. What about their soul? What about their soul? You know, the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. I'm not like a lot of preachers. You know, I've heard evangelists come into different churches, you know, and money, it's just like, quit, we got to have money to live in this world. And money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of the money. I'd rather personally see my 3 kids living on food stamps and be saved than I would be millionaires and on the way to hell. so important. I mean, it's just everything, you know. When that child walks the aisle and accepts Christ as his Lord and Savior, and you said, man, you know, it's thank God. But it's just the beginning. Now that they are saved, we got a responsibility to teach them. It's nobody's responsibility to teach them but the parents. And I don't know about you, but when my son came along, the hospital gave me a lot of things, but it didn't give me an instruction book. But God said in Mark 8, as we prepare to close here, Mark the 8th chapter and the 36th verse, God said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I mean, I was reading on the computer about all of the senators, you know, that we know what they make, and some of them worth, you know, $197 million and $200 million, and, you know, where do they earn that? They've sold out. Then, there's nothing wrong with being a millionaire. A person shouldn't be ashamed because God has blessed them. But that money is not going to save your child. It's not going to save your wife. It's not going to save you. Only the Word of God will save you and I. Same book, the 12th chapter, Mark 12, God said this. Mark the 12th chapter and the 31st verse. God says, "And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." We ought to teach our children. We ought to teach each other. We ought to practice that. See, I don't have to agree with a person to be polite to them. I don't have to agree with a Muslim to preach the gospel to him if I get an opportunity. Because if God saves that Muslim, he or she will no longer be a Muslim. See, I was a lost sinner on my way to hell. Brother Hunley preached the gospel to me. Brother Bill Cubine watered it. Brother Bill DeRossett watered it. But God gave the increase. And lastly, we need to have a heart for worldwide missions. Our fleshly sphere of interest scans no further than what affects us. Let me read that again. Our fleshly sphere of interest spans no further than what affects us. My faith affects me. My faith keeps me from doing the things I used to do. And my faith keeps me from staying backslidden when I backslide. Don't yours? So God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach it. Those that believe, they're teachable. But when you consider how to instill these or any other qualities in the hearts of your children, your brothers, your sisters, your family, your husband, your wife, I will remind you that some things are better caught than taught. Did you understand that? Some things are better taught than talk. See, if you're leading a young person, if you're leading your children, if you're leading a friend, you better practice what you preach, because they're watching everything you do. You said, but we all have bad days. Christian, you can't afford a bad day. We all have them. Just let them catch what you've got. And God bless you and them.